Now, if the fallout from the drugs in sport saga hasn't been enough for you, well, wait, there's more. There's been a large spike in the number of young people, civilians, non-footballers, ordinary folk, injecting hormones and peptides. Fairfax Media today reports that the Essendon doping scandal in Victoria has been a PR bonanza for performance-enhancing drugs. John Ryan is the CEO of the drug harm minimisation group Annex. John, welcome.
Good morning.
What are we seeing out there? Is there a greater frequency now of just ordinary people in gyms taking the same drugs that have been used by footballers?
That's exactly what's happened, particularly since the fiasco, I guess, in relation to Essendon. There's been a very significant increase in people commencing the use of these type of drugs, sourced mostly from overseas, sometimes through local networks here, but often manufactured in places like China.
Now, what sort of people are we talking about? Is there a particular group who's attracted to this?
Well, the diversity is actually part of the picture of this drug type. So we're talking about amateur sports people for sure, but also talking about some people that use their body for work, such as the security industry. But a large number of people are just, I guess, in the body beautiful category. So they're using it not to compete professionally or in amateur football or amateur sport, but actually to compete in the body beautiful stakes on Saturday night.
Now, part of the outrage about the football club incidences with these drugs is that we don't know what they are. I mean, people in football clubs are being injected with mysterious substances. I mean, surely that level of ignorance can only be greater for people outside of structures like footy clubs.
That's part of the heart of the problem. I think that there's two real key issues. One, we don't know what's in the substances because they are paralegal or illegal, bought through informal networks. So there's no quality assurance. They're not Therapeutic Goods Administration approved. So you don't know actually what's in them. And also, they're too new to know what the long-term side effects are. So we are really playing in the dark in relation to these substances. And obviously, when you combine the illegal nature plus the long-term consequences that we don't know, plus actual ignorance of people that are using them, there's very high risk from the drugs themselves, but also from the route of administration. These drugs are injected under the skin, for example, so there's a very big risk of blood-borne viruses. We've had a great success in Australia controlling HIV, but this is a risk in this area.
Is there some sort of coincidence here, John Ryan, between this culture of extremely intense bodybuilding and that other culture that we're seeing, especially at times like the New Year, of street violence?
There is some evidence that steroids and these sorts of drugs create anger issues and mood swings, but I don't think that we could link it that directly. But definitely, in the general milieu, there's a problem with people taking, I guess, a quick fix to issues, not thinking about consequences, thinking in terms of a very short time frame, and then you get sort of random acts of violence, I think, with that sort of mentality. And combine the sort of competitive nature of our society, and it is a perfect storm in that regard.
And you think it's copycatting from the football behaviour?
There's no doubt about the increase in interest in these drugs and their consumption since the massive amounts of media that we saw. So whilst it's been going on for quite some time, there's been an incredibly large spike in the last 12 months, and we can't link it to anything other than the massive media focus on these issues.
So people should be cautious, and as you say, there's two things, the substances and the means of administration, those lessons that we've hard learned over the years about needles.
That's right. I think best, to be honest, best not to use. But if you are going to use, then you need to actually reduce your risks. And that means going and seeking advice from a health care provider, a needle and syringe program, being aware as much as you can of the drug risk, but also bloodborne virus risk.
John Ryan, thanks for your time.
Thank you.